Well, we're going to finally get into a little bit of the Hillary Clinton book. Kind of a strange place to start here, but I did want to mention this one thing I thought was really strange, and I think people will want to latch on to come 2008, perhaps. Hillary, it's amazing to me how radical she is when she's in college and shortly after she gets out. I mean, she is a radical, radical person in terms of her politics. And I don't know if Bill really wants to be that radical or what it is about her that he really digs. But, you know, Christopher Anderson tells that whole story, which we've heard before. They eyed each other at the library, and finally she went up and said, "Look, are we going to look at each other? Or I thought I'd just come up and introduce myself. I'm Hillary Rodham."
"Keep it clean, please."
"Those giant glasses and the stupid hair and the big ass."
Right. Well, they end up, starting to date. Actually, they started dating. She had another boyfriend.
God, go figure. Somebody that gross.
Who she was living with. And she starts dating Bill, I guess cheating on this guy. And then she goes, I think she goes away with this other guy who she'd been with for a few years. And she comes back, and she and this guy were kind of at the end of their relationship. So she starts up with Bill. And anyway, she came back from New Haven, I think it was. She went, and Anderson reports she came back hating the war and Richard Nixon more than ever. She and Bill got hot and heavy, and they rented a ground floor apartment. This is funny because she just made a big deal about Chelsea living with her boyfriend.
Right.
She didn't want them living in sin. When she lived with Bill Clinton, just off campus at 21 Edgewood Avenue, they paid $75 a month, and Bill used his own money to set up a McGovern for President headquarters. Much of the time, Bill worried aloud that his new relationship was not fair to Hillary. He told her he wasn't sure he wanted to fall deeper in love with her because she would never be happy in Arkansas, and he knew he was going to go back there for politics. After Christmas, Bill drove up to Park Ridge to spend time with the Rodham family, and he had no trouble winning over Dorothy, her mother, and the brothers. But the father was his usual nasty self. Gradually, over football and card games, Hugh Rodham began to crack. Interestingly, it was Dorothy who confronted Bill on the question of her daughter's future and why he felt it was fair for Hillary to relinquish her own political ambitions while he sought office back home in Arkansas. And many of their friends at this time are so insistent that she's the political future of this twosome.
She's
the smarter one.
Right.
She's got the better future. But I got to tell you, her politics are something bizarro.
Bill Clinton and I started a conversation in the spring of 1971, and more than 30 years later, we're still talking.
Let's speed ahead
to the summer of 72. Hillary joins Bill in Austin, Texas, where they both worked on the McGovern campaign. And she had managed to keep an eye on his extracurricular activities in New Haven. But with Bill making frequent out-of-town trips to whip up support for his anti-war candidate, there was little she could do to rein him in. At numerous times in front of other campaign staffers, they quarreled bitterly about the other women he was seeing, as many as three in the span of a single week. By the way, Anderson told us in our interview that she liked to throw things at him. I've read already in this book of like four times she chucked stuff at him in front of other people.
Oh, wow.
It's incredible the temper she has. And him, too. He's got quite a temper, but she certainly is the more dramatic temper. Bill continued to impress everyone he met with his prodigious energy. He managed to get on by just 5 hours of sleep a night, and his innate political savvy. But Hillary was also attracting notice from seasoned party operatives. One of these no-nonsense operatives is chain-smoking Betsy Wright, who was far more interested in Hillary's future than in Bill's. "I was obsessed with how far Hillary might go with her mixture of brilliance, ambition, and self-assuredness. She would later say that Bill and Hillary's marriage would leave her feeling disappointed. I had images in my mind that she could be the first woman president. None of this kept Hillary from signing on for an additional and unnecessary fourth year at Yale Law School simply to be close to Bill." She's real deferential to him. It's almost funny to me that she would be this way. She's so, describe her as being besotted and just so madly in love with him that she really does put her own personal priorities to the side for Bill Clinton, which is strange. And the only reason I can think that she does this is he keeps saying he wants to be president. And she tells anybody who will listen that Bill is going to be president. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something?
Yeah, it really is.
Mind-blowing. And she said recently, too, that when she met him, she had no idea this was going to happen.
That's
which
what
is
I was
another
say.
One of her big fat lies.
Lies, 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 lies.
After graduation, Bill took Hillary on her first trip to Europe. It was while strolling along the shores of Lake Ennerdale in England's scenic lake district that Bill first asked Hillary to marry him. She turns him down. Can you believe that?
Man.
How insulting that this guy that can land any chick out there gets turned down by this gross pig.
I know it. Ugly. Oh, everybody's seen the early photographs of Hillary. I mean, she's not that pretty now, but then, wow.
Undaunted, Bill took her home to Arkansas, but not before using his contacts to secure a $25,000 a year teaching job at the University of Arkansas. In Hot Springs, Hillary met Bill's mom, Virginia, and Bill's brother, Roger. I didn't know what to think, Hillary's future mother-in-law recalled. No makeup, Coke bottle glasses, brown hair with no apparent style.
Mm.
Virginia had wanted her son to marry someone she felt was more his type, and she mentions tall, blonde beauty pageant contestants. Which, by the way, Clinton goes through a bender where he just goes through beauty pageant chicks in the early 80s when they're first married.
Well, that's where he did that Miss Arkansas,
She was the last in a string of about four of them.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah, I didn't know he had any before her.
It was amazing. And Elizabeth Ward Grayson told Christopher Anderson that he bit her lip the same way he bit that Juanita Broderick's lip.
Yeah.
Where she claimed he raped her, and that when he bit her lip, it bled.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Ward Grayson said the same thing, that she really was kind of wishy-washy about this Clinton thing. But he bit her lip, and it hurt her, and she was scared of him. And she went through with it, and she slept with him. And then he chased her all over New York for the next 2 weeks wanting more action, and she just blew him off left and right. He's like, no. And she said he was just relentless
just
in his pursuit of her. Yeah,
brother.
Exactly. Anyway, his mother saw him with a beauty pageant type. Hillary also made several visits over the previous year to New York in part to investigate the living conditions of disadvantaged children for her various Marion Wright Edelman-inspired projects, but also to connect with various activist groups in the city. At a time when elements of the American left embraced the Palestinian cause and condemned Israel, Hillary was telling friends she was sympathetic to the terrorist organization and admired Yasser Arafat. When Arafat made his famous appearance before the UN General Assembly in November 74, wearing his revolutionary uniform and his holster on his hip, Bill Clinton was outraged like everybody else, said a Yale Law School classmate, but not Hillary, who tried to convince Bill that Arafat was a freedom fighter trying to free his people from their Israeli oppressors. 4 years after Arafat's scorching attack on Israel at the UN, one of his staunchest supporters, Vanessa Redgrave, showed up at the Academy Awards to accept a Best Supporting Actress Oscar for Julia and blast the Zionist hoodlums who picketed her presence at the ceremony. Do you remember that, Vanessa Redgrave, getting in all that harangue?
No.
I faintly remember it from...
I remember.
I think I was a teenager, but I just remember her creating a bunch of ruckus. Redgrave was practically booed off the stage for her remarks, but according to a friend in Arkansas, Hillary defended her stance. Hillary's line basically was there were two sides to the Palestinian question, that Jews in this country had too much money and power and that they'd pretty much shut off all debate.
Whoa.
Yeah. Listen to this part.
Okay.
In July of 73, however, Hillary's mind was on practicing law. She and Bill made another trip to Arkansas to take the bar exam and passed on their first try. Hillary would not be so fortunate in Washington, D.C., where she had taken the exam twice before passing it.
Mm.
How about that?
Oh,
yeah,
interesting indeed.
I never heard about her failing her her bar twice.
Uh-huh.
How about that?
Never.
That's a JFK Jr.
deal. I was just going to say that.
It was during this trip to his home state that Bill took Hillary to meet a politically well-connected friend. When they drove to the house, Bill and Hillary noticed a menorah, the seven-branched Hebrew candelabrum, not to be confused with a more common and subtler mezuzah. Anyway, this menorah was affixed to the front door. My daddy was half-Jewish, explained Bill's friend. One day when he came to visit, my daddy placed a menorah on my door because he wanted me to be proud that we were part Jewish, and I wasn't about to say no to my dad. To his astonishment, as soon as Hillary saw the menorah, she refused to get out of the car. Bill walked up to me and said she was hot and tired, but later he explained the real reason. According to the friend and another eyewitness, Bill said, I'm sorry, but Hillary's really tight with people in the PLO in New York. They're friends of hers, and she just doesn't feel right about going in this house with a menorah on the front door. Do you mean to tell me, Bill's friend shot back, that she's going to be part of Yasser Arafat and all those people? Bill shrugged. Hillary really backs the PLO and doesn't like what Israel's up to. Anyway, she just thinks having a menorah on your front door, she just doesn't like it, that's all. Well, I bet there's a lot of Jewish people in New York who would have liked to have known that before the senatorial
election. Well, you'd think
election,
so.
You know?
Well, you'd think, but I don't know anymore. I'm convinced they were going to put her in no matter what.
Isn't that something?
It really is. She still would have gotten in.
I've never heard that story, though.
No.
Back to Hillary Clinton, American Evita, Christopher Anderson's book. And, you know, you asked him about the lesbian rumors, and he was slightly circumspect about that.
I would like to make a romance inside of her.
And the reason is because he never could nail anything down. But there is some references to it in the book. For example, this is interesting. There was one point where Bill is running for, I think he's running for attorney general in Arkansas. And they had decided that living together could hurt him as a candidate. So Bill kept his bungalow in Fayetteville. She moved into a spacious contemporary apartment lent to her by an Arkansas lawyer who had served with her on the impeachment staff, the Nixon impeachment staff. And by the way, lent to her is an interesting description there. A number of people in this book describe them as absolute spongers in the early years.
Mm-hmm.
They described them as never having money, never carrying money, always letting other people pick up the tabs.
Oh, jeez.
And never picking up a tab. And even when he's in the governor's house with a $51,000 a year food allowance, his salary is only $35,000. But he doesn't have to pay for transportation, food, I mean, literally nothing. Everything is covered. And she's got her job at the Rose Law Firm. And she's not even billing the hours she's supposed to be billing, and they're paying her anyway, because some of her clients, well, it's very complicated, but some of her clients are involved in government work. For example, there's some contractors who keep getting Arkansas contracts, and she's doing law work for them and not disclosing it, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Some really scummy stuff here.
Always.
Anyway, a number of people describe what absolute spongers they are and how unappreciative they are of all the things that people do for them, which saves them money.
Yeah, they just expect it.
And so anyway, Arkansas voters were often swayed by other less weighty issues like the appearance of the candidates' wives. Hillary's decidedly unfeminine look and humorless demeanor was not helpful in a state where political wives were expected to hide behind thick coats of makeup and frozen smiles. Before long, there was talk among members of both parties that the Yankee Bill Clinton had chosen to marry was gay. The lesbian rumors were really starting to hurt us, said Frey. This is a guy that worked for the Clinton campaign, who felt he had no choice but to ask Bill if they were true. Incredibly, Bill would not deny them. Instead, he merely shrugged. When he asked Hillary, she fired back that it was nobody's GD business.
Ooh.
When Faye pointed out that the gossip was losing Bill votes, Hillary blasted him again. F this S, she screamed.
Oh.
Before turning to leave, slamming the door of the campaign office behind her. Blank this blank. F this S.
Wow.
Did you follow that one?
Yeah, I sure did.
But nobody's GD business?
It doesn't sound like any kind of a denial going on there.
No, exactly. And it doesn't sound like he's denying it either.
No, I mean, this, I don't know. Well, there that is in his book. Why did he answer me with, no, I really, I don't know.
Well, he said he could never track it down. I mean, he did acknowledge to me that there were rumors, but didn't he say he could never quite, like, he could never track down another partner, for example,
yeah,
I think is what he was suggesting.
Yeah, I can't definitively state that. But I think he could have in the interview at least said that, well, that's still up for debate.
Well, I wish we had had
at least something like that.
I really wish we had had the book before we talked to him, but unfortunately we didn't, so we didn't know this particular portion.
Well, at least we know it now, and that's pretty doggone interesting right there, and I take that as a yes.
Of course you do. Hillary was proving to be a handful for other reasons as well. The Freys were expending a considerable amount of time and energy trying to conceal Bill's numerous infidelities from Hillary. The list of special friends kept by Mary Lee swelled to include scores of names, many of the wives and daughters of some of the most ardent supporters. Hillary periodically vented her frustration by raiding Bill's desk, searching for his girlfriend's phone numbers, and tearing them up in a frenzy when she found them.
It was into a million little tiny pieces of paper.
It was not atypical for either Hillary or Bill. Both had hair-trigger tempers, and neither seemed to care if there was an audience on hand or not. Campaign organizer Ron Addington remembers pitched battles between the two, not over Bill's flagrant womanizing. He had a woman in every county, and there were 30 counties, but over differences in how to run the campaign. Politics, not sex, is what really got Hillary worked up. Isn't that interesting?
Yes. You're not kidding.
During one argument at campaign headquarters, Hillary picked up a book and flung it at Bill, nailing him in the ribs.
Ooh.
She was frightening. She liked to yell, and man, did she like to throw things, Frey recalled. Hillary could just scare the living bleep out of you if she wanted to, and I mean that. Ironically, Frey and his wife were sucked into the same argument, wound up hurling projectiles and invective until Mary Frey detonated a megaton bomb. They'd been given the onerous task, she told Hillary, of hiding the fact that Bill was sleeping with half the district. Hillary did not react with histrionics. She barely seemed to react at all. Her response led the Freys to conclude that she'd been well aware of the nature of Bill's extracurricular activities, if not the scope. Still in the aftermath of her explosive statement, Mary Frey waited for Hillary to say something. When she didn't, it became instantly clear to the Freys that what mattered most to Hillary right now was winning the election. What most upset Hillary during the 74 congressional campaign was Bill's reluctance to bludgeon Hammerschmidt, that's his opponent, over his longstanding allegiance to Nixon. Campaign worker Ron Addington was driving Bill and Hillary to another stop when they began shouting at each other in the back seat of the car, screaming from the back seat that he was going to lose the election because he was chicken bleep for not going after this guy. Hillary demanded to be let out of the car. Bill, yelling back at the top of his lungs, was happy to oblige. Hillary got out, slammed the car door, and stomped off alone. You're going to lose, asshole! She shrieked over her shoulder. You're going to lose!
I so believe that. Can you just see that?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, my God.
Hillary was... Hillary was right. Bill lost by a hairbreadth, the margin of 1.5%. She was disappointed that Bill had not followed her advice, but not upset enough to keep him from moving in with her. Now both Bill and Hillary, infamous among their friends for never picking up the check, lived rent-free in Terry Kirkpatrick's large home. Bill sponged off people, Frey said of Clinton and Hillary. And Hillary wasn't much better. Hillary and Bill returned to their teaching jobs at Fayetteville, where she outshone him as a professor. Bill wanted to be treated like one of the guys, said Woody Bassett, a student who had them both as teachers. He was laid back in the extreme. Hillary, on the other hand, was no-nonsense, analytical, demanding, all business, all the time. People loved him, but they respected her. let's see. Oh, this is funny. Bill's mother, Virginia, cried on October the 11th, 1975, not because she was losing her son to a Yankee, as they'd announced their engagement, but because his bride was insisting on holding on to her maiden name.
Oh.
Hillary had waited until the eve of her wedding to buy her wedding gown. Boy, that's a real feminine thing,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, really.
Oh, yeah, I guess they have to get a gown.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. She's out there trying to find a wedding gown that's actually a pantsuit.
So listen to this. She buys her wedding dress at Dillard's Department Store.
At Dillard's.
The ceremony itself conducted in the living room of their new house by local Methodist minister Vic Nixon.
God.
Never thought of being married by a Nixon was a modest affair.
Wow.
Not so the reception, which was held at the home of State Senator Morris Henry and his wife, Anne. Hundreds of family, friends, former classmates, colleagues, and political contributors crowded into Henry's backyard. Anne Henry described Hillary as ecstatic. If she had doubts about making her life in Arkansas, they'd vanished by that time. She was totally in love with him. That moment would have been shattered had Hillary known that during the reception, one of the guests came upon Bill making out with another woman in one of the bathrooms.
Oh.
This is at the wedding reception.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man.
8 months later, Bill scored his first election victory when he won the May 76 primary for state attorney general. Hillary, meantime, took a leave of absence from the university to become Jimmy Carter's deputy campaign director in Indiana. She quickly rubbed the local operatives the wrong way, so much so that at one point during a staff meeting, a slightly inebriated Paul reached over the conference table, grabbed her by the collar, and told her to shut up.
Hillary removed
his hand, told the man never to touch her again, and stormed out of the meeting.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What a moment that was. That's jeez.
I know. How about that?
Ooh.
I wonder where that guy is now.
Yeah, really.
Probably
dead?
She rejoins the Rose Law Firm in 1974, and she works in an office across the hall from Vince Foster.
Uh-oh.
And they become fast friends. They shared a secretary. And it's interesting the cases that she's involved in at this point. She takes this case where this guy opened a can of pork and beans and discovered a rat's derriere poking up at him.
Oh.
And it turned out they investigated it, of course. Hillary loves private investigators.
Uh-huh.
Turns out it was true. And the company acknowledged that there was no, usually from the packaging or the way the things open or whatever,
yeah,
you can tell if something's been done. Well, they they ended up acknowledging that from their investigation, yes. No, it was not tampered
with. Not tampered with,
okay. There was indeed a rat's ass in this can of pork and beans.
Oh, jeez.
The sight was so nauseating, said the plaintiff, that he could not, among other things, bring himself to kiss his fiancée, arguing that rodent parts had been sterilized in the canning process and might be considered edible in certain parts of the world. Hillary somehow managed to convince the jury to award the man only a token amount. Hillary and Bill would often joke about her first legal victory for the Rose Law Firm in what she dubbed the rat's ass case.
Oh.
Not long after that, Hillary took on another case that seemed to contradict much of what she claimed she stood for. In her first criminal case, Hillary defended a 300-pound man charged with assaulting his girlfriend rather badly. Prosecutors viewed the case as cut and dried. Police would testify that the woman had been severely beaten, but they were blindsided during the preliminary hearing when Hillary convinced the judge to drop the charges on a technicality.
Oh, man.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Miss Feminist?
Yep, yep.
Gets this guy off on a technicality.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, then they get into how dangerous his sex life became. He had sex with Dolly Kyle in a Cadillac Eldorado convertible parked on a public street with the top down in broad daylight. Whoa!
His face red as a baboon's ass.
And then Dolly,
the afternoon sun.
Dolly Kyle says, "The amazing thing is we did it twice, not once but twice." His chauffeur-driven limousine parked directly in front of Flowers' apartment complex on dozens of occasions, according to the building manager. And when Bill and Jennifer had sex on her sofa, Clinton refused to let her draw the shades.
He's a little bit of an exhibitionist.
You know, he's on top of me in the shed, pumping and sweating.
Oh, yeah, my God. Sounds like it.
I'm still stuck in the visual of seeing this convertible Eldorado. Just this amazing car, and there's Bill.
There were other risks Bill was willing to take. According to several of the women involved with him, Clinton flatly refused to wear a condom. Flowers was also apparently somewhat cavalier about contraception, with a predictable result. In December of 77, she discovered she was pregnant. A few days later, she informed the baby's father, Bill Clinton, that she intended to terminate the pregnancy. He did not object, and the abortion was performed in late January of 78. 2 months later, with Hillary standing at his side, Bill held a press conference to announce he was running for governor. According to two longtime Arkansas friends, Hillary knew about Flowers' pregnancy and was devastated by it. Yeah. Indeed, they believe it is one of the reasons she seldom speaks of the pivotal 78 governor's race, one of Clinton's notable early triumph, and went so far as to actually omit it from her memoirs.
Wow.
Then they get into Juanita Broderick, who Clinton, a registered nurse who ran her own nursing care facility in Van Buren. Juanita Hickey, that was her name at the time, was one of a small army of Arkansas women who volunteered to stuff envelopes and go door-to-door to help Bill Clinton get elected governor. Not surprisingly, the leggy blonde Juanita caught the candidate's eye, and he invited her to drop into his campaign headquarters the next time she was in Little Rock. Well, she does. She's there at an American College of Nursing convention. She checks into Little Rock's Camelot Hotel and calls Clinton, says she wants to stop by the campaign office. And he says, "Why don't I meet you at the hotel?" And she says, "Okay, I'll see you in the coffee shop." And they set up a time. And he says, "You know what? The place is swarming with reporters. How about if I just come to your room?" Reluctantly, she agreed. No sooner did he step into the room, he grabbed Juanita around the waist, spun her around, and started kissing her. She pulled away. "No, please don't do that." Disregarding her objections, Bill kissed her again. This time he bit hard on her top lip. She tried to pull away, but he applied even more pressure with his teeth, drawing blood. Then he pushed her down on the bed. Still biting down her lip, Bill, according to Juanita, raped her violently.
Whoa.
That's what she says. Once it was over, Bill stood up, put on his jacket, and politely said goodbye. "I will never ever forget that moment as long as I live," Broderick said. He was so casual about the whole thing, as if this was business as usual for him. And she told four friends within 48 hours of the event, and she was so frightened, I guess. That's what she says. I don't know. You know, Anderson said she was very believable and very credible. You know, I just don't know what to make of that. I mean, the idea that Bill Clinton's a rapist seems a little hard to swallow.
Yeah.
Maybe he'd never been turned down before.
Well, that's kind of what's hypothesized, that he was a nerd in high school that nobody would sleep with, but then once he became attorney general, everybody would sleep with him, and that, he wasn't used to being turned down.
Wow.
He tells Hillary about it, by the way. He said that
she
was a Clinton groupie who had lured him up to her room under false pretenses and seduced him. He was ashamed and sorry and begged Hillary to forgive him. Hillary let fly with the customary expletives, though she was clearly more concerned with a potential political fallout than with the mere fact that Bill had once again cheated on her.
Same thing. Yeah, there you go. Same deal.
So then there's a campaign. This is one of the things they held against Juanita Broderick, was that she had RSVP'd to this campaign kind of fundraiser party. And before this alleged rape happened, she agreed to go to this thing. Well, she ends up going, and people said, well, why did you go if he had raped you? And she said, I don't know. I was just on remote control. I can't even explain why I went. But when she went, Bill Clinton would not meet her eyes. He wouldn't look her in the eye. However, she noticed Hillary kept staring at her. Finally, Hillary came over, grabbed her hand, and she said she held it so tight she wouldn't let go. And she even tried to pull her hand away, and Hillary gripped it, held onto it, and said, she was looking me straight in the eye. Oh, wait. Hillary's locked onto Juanita's eyes, still holding on tightly to her hand. I want you to know how grateful we are for all you've done for Bill and all you'll keep doing. Juanita tried to free herself from Hillary's iron grasp, but the candidate's wife did not release her grip for several seconds, enough for Hillary to feel certain she'd gotten her point across. In that split second, Juanita realized that Bill had confessed to Hillary, and she was not going to let that get in the way. And from that moment, I knew what Hillary was capable of doing. And I could see in her eyes she wasn't doing it for her husband. She wasn't even doing it for them. She was doing it for Hillary Rodham. When Hillary moved on to the other guests, Juanita retreated to a hallway where she became physically ill. I was so upset, all I could think of was, oh, my God, I'm going to throw up. Incredible.
Jeez. Yeah. God almighty.
American Evita.
Oh, wow.
Christopher Anderson.
That's some pretty good stuff right there.
One hell of a book.